It's the Kim Munson Show, analyzing the most important stories.
An early childhood taxing district, what on earth is that?
The latest in politics and world affairs.
I don't think that we should be passing legislation that is so complicated that people kind of throw up their hands and say, oh, I can't understand it.
Today's current opinions and ideas.
It is not fair that just because you're a big business that you get a break on this and the little guy doesn't.
Is it freedom or is it force? Let's have a conversation.
Studio with me, Rick Turnquist, and it is great to have you in studio. You have written another amazing op-ed, which you can find. I got to make sure. I think Zach has it at the website.
It is on the website.
Okay,
yes,
Kim Munson. That's Munson.com. It's all about this forced paid family leave that. They're kicking around the idea of passing down there at the State House.
Yeah, it's a concept that's been in play for several years. There's been four prior bills introduced before this year. And to my knowledge, we haven't seen a bill in this year's legislative session yet. But I'm sure that we will. And it'll probably be substantially similar to the prior four bills that have been introduced, and all four of them failed. One was killed in the Democrat-controlled House, the first one was. And then the next two were killed in this Republican-run state Senate Veterans Military Affairs Committees. And then last year's bill was going to fail, and at the last minute they turned it into a study that authorized a study with a task force.
Mm-hmm. And so that's the way they kick the can down the road, try to get people not be paying attention, and then they try to bring it back. So really important to have this conversation. We'll dissect that in segments 3 and 4. But, Rick, it's always great to have you in studio. We look at these issues as freedom versus force. Ultimately, socialism comes down to force. You can vote your way into socialism, but, baby, it is tough to get back out of that.
And the same is true of entitlement programs like the paid family leave. You know, once it's enacted, it'll be there forever. It'll never go away. These things are almost impossible, if not impossible, to repeal.
And they grow. They never get smaller.
Oh, they do. Yeah, like New York just introduced their plan within the last couple of years, and already this year they've had to raise their employer tax by 76%. And one of the funny things is that all the other states are honest about what the funding mechanism is. They call it what it is, a payroll tax. In Colorado, because we have Tabor and tax increases need to be voted on by the people, they're exploiting a loophole in Tabor and calling it a fee or a premium because it's a government-run, air quotes, enterprise. But really, any money that's taken from people that earn it by force to fund government programs is a tax. And in Colorado, we vote on our taxes.
And it is dishonest and it's disingenuous to not call it what it really is.
And if it's such a great idea, why not put it to the vote of the people? And I'm calling on Faith Winner and the other sponsors of whatever this bill is going to be to put it to the vote of the people. If it's such a great idea, then it'll certainly pass with a yes. But let's have a vote on it if you think it's such a great idea.
And just remember, it's never compassionate to take other people's rights, their property, or freedom via force. Whether it's with a weapon, you know, that's something that's very visible. But the real quiet ones is policy and excessive and unpredictable taxation
and mandates.
Right. So the words can be, so the words for force, people say, well, I don't know that I see force, but some of the words are mandate, regulation, control, compliance. Those are all force words, but they just maybe sound a little nicer, but those are all force words.
Right.
So go ahead.
Well, I was just going to say, and even if, there's a requirement by the state to have private employers provide paid family leave, it's still a government force mandate that puts a burden on a business that doesn't need to be there.
Well, and the other thing, and we'll talk about this in segments 3 and 4, is I think that it starts to create animosity between workers, and it prevents employers from rewarding people from doing a job well. It takes away the ability for, say, a young woman that maybe she has a baby and wants to, negotiate for more flexibility. It takes all that away because of force. So we'll talk about that in segments 3 and 4. And I want to say thank you to our team, producer Steve, Zach, Patty, Keith, and Charlie, for all that you do. In fact, I got the cutest text from one of our listeners, Katie. She said, oh, my kids love to dance to the bumper music. So I saw Charlie as I was walking out yesterday. He puts all the bumper music together. And I told him that. And he says, well, they have to dance quick because it's not very long. But anyway, thank you for the team. You guys are doing a great job. And then to each of you listeners, I so appreciate each one of you. You have a purpose today. Go out and go after it. Strive for excellence and take care of heart, soul, mind, and body. So, Rick Turnquest, you're in studio. You're really, you know, a capitalist, a free market guy. And so I'm thinking, okay, who can I quote? Thomas Sowell. How's that? Thomas Sowell is 89 years old. He is an American economist, social theorist, and author of Basic Economics, and is currently a senior fellow at the Hoover Institution at Stanford. Thomas Sowell was born in North Carolina but grew up in Harlem, New York. He dropped out of high school and served in the United States Marine Corps during the Korean War. He received a bachelor's degree, graduating magna cum laude from Harvard University in 1958, a master's degree from Columbia University in 1959, and in 1968, he earned his doctorate in economics from the University of Chicago. Steve, did you know all that about Thomas Sowell?
No, I did not.
Okay. We always have a little history lesson in here, too. So, and this
makes us the full, well-rounded program we are.
You know, and if we add in the word of the day, several people, and Rick just said he really liked that, your N-words yesterday. Let's see, naive, narcissistic, and nefarious. That was good, Steve. So,
well, it wasn't planned. And then I said to Rick earlier, it took on a life of its own.
That it did. So Thomas Sowell, this is what he said. Much of the social history of the Western world over the past three decades has involved replacing what worked with what sounded good.
You know, and that's a very profound quote, and I'm constantly amazed by how progressives just want to tear down everything that makes our life so great. They want to tear. It's like I wrote about in my piece, The Pillars of Modern Life. You know, our modern world rests on three things: free market capitalism, fossil fuels, and limited government. And the progressives just want to tear all of that down. And I don't know what their end goal is or what their dream is. But, you know, as far as I can see, they just want us to all sit down and starve together when all the other people's money runs out.
But they think that it won't affect them. They'll be one of the haves. And what was it? Somebody, we were talking, it was one of the guests that were in, and they were talking about envy, that this is what the progressives really use is envy, and there's nothing healthy about envy. So I think the example was, say if you have a Ford Focus or whatever, and your neighbor has a Mercedes, and you look at that with envy, and you say, I don't want him to have that Mercedes. You'd rather have him have the same. It brings everybody, down to an equality that just isn't fair. And in America, it was not founded on envy. It was like, my neighbor has worked hard and has a Mercedes. That means if I work hard, maybe I could get one, too.
Yeah, exactly. And frankly, I don't want a Mercedes. I'm happy with my Camry. But, that's the exact principle is the country was founded upon the idea that all people are created equal with equal natural rights. And, that's what we believe in. And the left believes in equality of outcome. But when you go for equality of outcome, you're bringing everybody down to the lowest possible level, because then there's no room for anyone to excel or to succeed.
To create, to innovate.
To create and innovate. And, it's like, one of the great analogies is why TVs are so inexpensive now compared to how they used to be. And it's because of competition and free markets. And there's probably some government regulations that impact the TV market. In general, it's a largely unregulated product. And, they get cheaper all the time, better and cheaper all the time. And another place that you could look at that is in regards to a healthcare related item, which is LASIK surgery. That keeps coming down in price, but it's not covered by insurance. People have to pay for it themselves. So there's a pricing mechanism built into the LASIK market, which fosters competition and enables people to choose between providers and results in lower prices over time.
Well, and as government gets involved in things, so, for example, we have the homeless industrial complex, we have the affordable housing industrial complex, we have the get people out of their internal combustion engines industrial complex. And as government gets involved in that, typically, well, like healthcare, the supply goes down, the quality goes down, and the costs go up. And they, if you get involved in like a social program like the homeless, the government's been involved in that for a number of years. And so instead of getting rid of the problem has gotten bigger and bigger and bigger because these PBIs, they actually create this government program and they make sure that they get paid a pretty healthy salary as the money goes by.
Yeah, it's really amazing. I'd love to really dig into what PBIs get paid, you know, the paid bureaucracy of the state. You know, in researching other things, I've seen, you know, some pretty hefty salaries, you know, and of course they get the lavish para benefits. And, you know, if they created this state-run paid family leave program, that would create a whole new bureaucracy with a director who's probably going to be making in the, you know, middle six figures and, you know, with the generous retirement mm-hmm. benefits and all the staff mm-hmm. people that would mm-hmm. report to that person. And, you know, it's, and federal government employees, in the same way, they have you know, virtual lifetime tenure. I don't know what it takes to get fired from a government job, but you know, it's probably got to be something pretty egregious. They have, you know, virtual lifetime tenure, you know, probably higher than market salaries and probably better than market benefits, and it's all paid for by you and me, the taxpayers.
Mm-hmm. So on that note, we're going to go to break here in just a moment. Steve, are you ready for my joke?
Yeah, after what Rick just said, I need something to laugh at.
Okay, so I found this joke, and I kind of adjusted it just a little bit. So a socialist, a progressive, a Denver Boulder politician, and a radical feminist walk into a bar. What happens? She orders a drink. That was pretty creative, huh? You guys like that one?
That was good.
Okay.
It caught me by surprise.
Did it catch you? Okay. Hey, we're going to go to break. Before we do that, though, it is NFL playoffs this weekend.
Championship is probably the better word.
Okay. So the AFC and the NFC championship. Is that correct? Is that good enough for you, Steve?
Well, Rick, help me here.
Yes, it's the NFC and AFC championships this weekend.
It's not a playoff.
They're both going to be on Sunday, from what I understand.
Yeah.
So if you're thinking about watching one on Saturday, you're going to be disappointed because they're both on Sunday. There's an early game and a late game, right, Steve?
Yes.
Early game, Tennessee Titans versus the Kansas City Chiefs. Go Chiefs. Second game, Green Bay Packers versus the San Francisco Niners, the 49ers. So where is the place to watch all those games?
Hooters.
You got it. And they have plenty of TVs, so you won't miss any of the action. If you join them for the big game, you'll be entered for a chance to win a 55-inch HD TV. And they now have some new roasted wings that you can try out while you watch the Avs and Nuggets chase a playoff spot. Wednesdays are dine-in wing day, all the wings you can eat for $15.99. And if you don't want to cook, I'm going to have – are you coming to my house on Sunday night, Rick?
Yes, I am.
Okay. I'm going to get some – I don't know for sure, but on either the buffalo shrimp – or I might try some of these new wings. But anyway, when people are coming over, I always have Hooters delivered right to the front door. More information, go to my website at kimmunson.com. Look at all my sponsors. They have a complete landing page there. We're going to go to break. When we come back, we'll continue with some headlines.
You want to succeed, so you need to dress for the job, event, or relationship that you seek. For more than 30 years, entrepreneur and stylist Kim Munson has been helping women look their very best. And guys, Kim can help you with made-to-measure shirts that fit great and you'll love to wear. Guys and gals, if you want to up your game, freshen your look, email kim@kimmunson.com for your initial style consult. Kim@kimmunson, MONSON.com.
Welcome back to the Kim Munson Show. I am Kim Munson. Be sure and check out my website, Kim Munson, MONSON.com. Sign up for our weekly email newsletter. It highlights all of this, the guests for the week and all kinds of great information. And a couple of things. You know what? We are starting to kind of scoop some of these important stories. Patty was really on it regarding the kind of this 9/11 fund money that had been sitting around for a while. Apparently it was was from the federal government to the state of Colorado to kind of help the economy get going after 9/11. And so this money, I think a big portion of it was used, but there was a portion that was still sitting there. And quite frankly, it was astonishing to find, excuse me, that Governor Hickenlooper was using that money for his legal fees as he was fighting this ethics complaint about him not reimbursing the state or not reporting, I'm not sure exactly what it was, on flying around on Elon Musk's brother's plane. And apparently he was using some of this 9/11 money for that. And Polis apparently used some of it as well as kind of a piggy bank. And Patty had scooped that. And now you had scooped this whole thing that this was just in the Colorado Sun. Or you said Complete Colorado.
Yeah, they had a big headline yesterday about the progressives, pursuing increase against, quote unquote, the rich. And I wrote about this last month in the piece we did on your website called The Battles Ahead, where I was looking forward to this year's legislative session. And the Colorado Fiscal Institute.
You were looking forward.
Yeah.
You were looking forward.
Yeah, I was looking forward. And, the Colorado Fiscal Institute, the Bell Policy Center, teamed up with several other progressive organizations, and they actually posted a video recording of their one of their policy meetings on online, which I find amazing. But I actually sat and watched the whole 2 hours of it. It was pretty boring, but it was
that very informative,
but very instructive. You know, they have two goals. They want to do away with Tabor altogether. Our taxpayers' bill of rights, and I would stipulate that Tabor is, and I've written about this again in Why Tabor Matters. Tabor's an important limit on the government, and research has shown that when government grows slower than the economy, people do better. But when government grows faster, it's bad. And we can see this in states all across America. We talk about this in rich states, poor states. States that have lower taxes or no income taxes do better economically than states that have higher income taxes. And the Bell Policy Center and the Fiscal Institute. Excuse me. Gosh, what's going around?
It's the morning.
They want to do away with Tabor. They want to introduce a progressive or tiered income tax rate system. They want to, and if you're a person who earns, if you're well off financially, if you earn, more than, a couple hundred thousand dollars a year, they want to take more of your money. And, I just don't think that's right or moral. I think the flat tax we have is the moral way to tax. It introduces a broad-based system, and it's more fair than tiered income tax rates.
Well, in a tiered income tax, what that does is it really dings people if they work hard. Susan Kochevar, as we were talking about this a week or so ago, she had texted me. She said, so if we encourage our kids to, say, get a college education, and work hard to get a good job, then we're going to ding them because they have done that. They've gone out and they've worked hard. Or let's say a businessman has taken risk. And if he loses his money, you don't see the state of Colorado coming in and wanting to backfill that. But let's say a businessman or a woman has taken risk and created a business, created a product that people have freely exchange their hard-earned dollars for, because they say this service or this product makes my life better. So this guy, gal, has innovated to make that happen, and because of that is creating wealth. Then this envy starts to kick in here, like the Bell Policy Center. It's based on envy. And so they say that because you have taken risk, that you need to pay a higher percentage. You're actually paying more in taxes anyway, but they want a bigger cut of that.
Yeah, and so people who are more successful financially, they've taken risks, they've taken their natural gifts and employed them to produce value and to earn wealth. And, there's no reason to penalize them for that. Part of what they say is they say the rich should pay their fair share. Well, actually, under a flat tax, everybody's paying their fair share, which is in Colorado, 4.63%. And we're actually going to get a tax rate cut this year because of Tabor. And, that's a great thing. But, saying that now a rich person pays more dollars in taxes than a poorer person does. But part of what they're saying is that poorer people pay more of a percentage of their income in taxes, because they're also looking at things like sales and use taxes. And as government is trying to evade Tabor and imposing all these fees on people, you know, those fees disproportionately impact lower income people as well. And, you know, when they tried to impose a new sales tax on us a year or two ago, whenever that was, for I forget what, but that would impact lower income people, because they pay more of their percentage, more as a percentage of their income in sales and use taxes, and that's really not fair to them.
Okay, so one other thing. On Prop CC, back in November, we did 3 weeks. Patty had found a website. It actually is a left-leaning website, but it's tracking all of the subsidies and tax incentives that have been given by the state of Colorado. And so within just 3 weeks, so that would have been 15 days basically on the show, we had come up with over, I think it was about $1.3 billion in incentives that the state of Colorado was offering to different businesses. And quite frankly, you know, if the state of Colorado comes and offers people, you know, free money, you know, it's probably difficult to say no. Although it was interesting, the Charles Schwab was offered, I think it was about, oh, I can't remember. I bet Patty, she might text me on that. But anyway, a significant amount of money from the state of Colorado. And so what I have found out is that, you know, you may have your cities that they may or may not offer something, but normally they go to the Colorado, state of Colorado Economic Development Office. Then they work together to put this incentive package together. So when Schwab bought TD Price, but
TD Price, that's
okay.
Right.
So the state of Colorado went out and made a presentation to Schwab on, come to our state, we're going to give you these, you know, tax incentives and a variety of things. And Schwab said that they said no because they went to a different location. But why is it then these progressives say that they want to tax, you know, people that are working hard and creating and innovating because, quote unquote, they need more money, but yet they're over here giving away all kinds of corporate welfare?
Well, it's not the job of government to pick winners and losers in free markets. And so I don't believe there should be any kind of tax incentives or things like that to lure businesses to a state. And, you know, tax incentives just means that they're not going to charge as much as they would charge. And it's not fair to other businesses.
Right.
So if I have a business and I'm thinking about locating in Colorado, but they're not interested in me and my business, they're not going to offer me any tax incentives. But then, you know, my competitor may want my competitor to come to Colorado, and they'll offer my competitor tax incentives, and that's not fair to me. So
right, so you're paying taxes so that the state of Colorado can offer a tax break to your competitor.
Yeah, right. And you know, so the government doesn't belong in that business, and I don't believe in you know, so-called corporate welfare and anything like that. You know, businesses succeed or fail on their own based on the quality of their products and services.
Okay. And Patty just texted me. She said it was hold on here. She said it was TD America, and there was one other thing. I wonder if I misspoke on something. $8 million for Schwab. That was $8 million that was offered, and it was TD America. So we like to try to make – we really work to make sure that we get the facts out there. So Colorado progressives have a new target in their pursuit of the rich, and now they want to have a progressive tax, and that's just not fair.
And do away with Tabor. Yep, and neither one of those is a good thing. You know, they're working really hard on turning us into another California or New York or New Jersey. And if you read the blog that's up on Kim's site, kimmonson.com, you'll see that, you know, none of those states that offer paid family leave, and there's other factors in play here, but, you know, none of those states are doing well economically, and you know, more people are moving out of those states than are moving there. So that's one way to solve the affordable housing crisis in Colorado is to, you know, tax us into oblivion so everybody's moving out, and then there'll be plenty of affordable housing.
Well, and it'll take care of the congestion on our roads as well. So first of all, you use force to basically put in policies that chases out fossil fuels, oil and gas development here. So you've got that going on. Then you use this to start to chase people out. And how creative. There they are, working to try to solve our congestion problems and our affordable housing.
Yeah, by driving everybody out of the state.
I kind of think there's a better way. I think it's probably called, you know, capitalism and free markets and competition. I wonder what Jason McBride thinks about that, though. Jason McBride, Presidential Wealth Management. What do you think about Rick and Maya's conversation this morning?
Well, Kim, you know I'm going to agree with you any time.
You are such a smart man.
Well, yeah. Well, I'm married.
Yeah, that's just, yeah, true.
Rick, are you married?
Yeah.
Yeah, well, you know.
She's always right. Okay, Jason, I digress. So, you know, what do you think about this progressive tax?
Well, I think we're pretty fortunate right now that we have a fairly low flat tax in Colorado. I don't like the thought of a progressive tax because I doubt that the bottom end would get a break, and I'm sure that, as
Bingo.
Rick is talking about, the higher end is going to pay more. I don't think anybody would get a break.
Right. And so they opine that they're caring about, you know, the people that might be on the lower end of the, you know, wage spectrum. But in essence, they're not talking about lowering their taxes. In fact, they want to get rid of Tabor. And instead, it's just, I think, a money grab again. But, you know, Jason, I wanted to move over this Secure Act. We've talked about this all week. And, you know, what are some of the provisions that you wanted to make sure that we hit today?
Well, the last one for today, Kim, is another part of the Secure Act, relates to 401ks and retirement plans. And it says that as part of your plan, at least once a year, the plan would have to show you how much monthly income you would receive on a guaranteed basis, kind of based on the money that's in your plan.
So how would they figure that out?
Well, Kim, what they're going to do is they'll show what the monthly guaranteed amount would be at different retirement ages, I assume, but they would use annuity rates to calculate it. They'll show us both a single payout amount and a joint payout amount if you're married.
So what do you think? Is this a good thing?
Kim, you know, in concept, I think it's good. It would give a plan participant an actual and reasonable dollar amount they could expect based on guarantees and actual calculations. And I think that can be helpful to keep expectations grounded in reality. You know, Kim, our emotions can cloud our thinking when the market's doing great and our 401ks are going way up every year. It's not hard to start thinking, wow, I'm going to be getting 20% a year every year in retirement and huge amounts of income off of this once I'm retired. On the flip side, if the market hits a bad spell, your brain starts thinking you're going to only have a few pennies every year off of your 401k.
Okay, so you hedged a little bit. You said it's good in concept, but what could go wrong?
Well, I just hope those who are going to make the rules on how these disclosures are going to work actually understand the concept of an annuity and how it works. And it's, you know, Kim, we all know it's easy for regulators to go overboard with these rules and make the process so onerous for the plan administrators that they can't even properly communicate it to the participants so they understand what they're talking about.
Well, you know what? You have one of those force words in there, and that is regulate or regulators. But
right.
But now the Secure Act also may have actual annuities available inside these 401k plans?
Well, Kim, you know, there's no rule against annuities being offered inside of plans right now, but the plan administrators have been kind of hesitant to offer them. Because the old rules were very murky and very unclear on, like, the liability to the plan or the company if they offered an annuity, and then down the road something happened to the insurance company, they ran into trouble and maybe couldn't make the payments as promised.
And has that been a problem?
It really hasn't been. Kim, I'm not aware of any highly rated issuer of annuities that haven't made payments as promised. Boy, you know, to think about it, in fact, I'm not aware of any annuity payments that have ever been promised that weren't paid. But a 401k doesn't want to become an insurer, too. So the Secure Act gives them a safe harbor If they want to offer an annuity in the plan, as long as they demonstrate prudence in their selection of the insurer that backs the payments.
Okay. So, Jason, if plans start to offer more lifetime income options like this, what should people know before they make that decision?
Well, it remains to be seen, Kim, if the annuities offered in the plan are going to be competitive with the product somebody could buy on their own outside the plan, or if the in-plan ones are going to be plain vanilla or just, you know, watered down as far as the rates or features. So I'd say before you take the plunge inside your plan, consult with an advisor that has some experience and access to multiple annuity products and make a thorough comparison of what you can get in the plan versus outside.
Okay, so Jason McBride, will this be good or bad?
Kim, I hope it's good. One positive that might come of this is better education for people on what annuities really are, how they really work, and why they might or might not be a good option for you. Honestly, Kim, I think annuities have gotten a bad rap that's largely undeserved, and maybe this will, you know, kind of polish some of that stigma off of there where people can make a better decision without, you know, having preconceived notions.
Okay, and you have some resources for our listeners regarding the SECURE Act.
I do, Kim, that's right. We have a summary report available at airpresidential.com. That's AIRpresidential.com. And there you'll also find a podcast where Bruce Larson and I go into some detail about several of the provisions of the plan. So if you missed any of our episodes that you and I did all this week, you can listen to me and Bruce do it in some detail as well.
And that is great. And most importantly, don't go this alone when it comes to your money. Start the year off right by meeting with Jason or one of the other fine men or women at Presidential Wealth Management. That phone number, you can give them a call at 7:30. Natalie will be at the switchboard at 303-694-1600, 303-694-1600. Or go to airpresidential.com, airpresidential.com, and all that information is there as well, Jason.
That's right, Kim. Well, thank you very much. I hope this week was helpful to folks, and we'll have another fun subject next week. I'm just not sure what it is yet.
Okay, that's a cliffhanger. So we'll talk to you on Monday, Jason McBride.
Have a great show. Bye, Rick.
Bye, Jason.
Okay, we're going to go to break, and then we're going to get into this piece that is on my website, kimmunson.com. I tell you what, Rick, this is amazing. It's the case against family, and family is the forced paid family leave act that is going to be proposed probably this legislative session. We're going to go to break. We will be right back.
Award-winning realtor Karen Levine has 30 years of experience with RE/MAX Alliance. As a director with the National Association of Realtors, Karen Levine works to protect private property rights. Karen Levine believes in homeownership. Because of Karen's love of dogs, Karen volunteers with GRR, Golden Retriever Rescue of the Rockies, helping golden retrievers find their forever homes. Choose Karen Levine to buy or sell your home because she understands that it's more than just a house. Karen Levine comes highly recommended by Kim Munson. Call award-winning realtor Karen Levine with RE/MAX Alliance today at 303-877-7516. That's 303-877-7516.
You'd like to get in touch with one of Kim Munson's sponsors, but you can't recall their phone number. Find a full list of advertising partners on Kim's website, kimmunson.com. That's Kim, M-O-N-S-O-N.com.
Welcome back to the Kim Munson Show. Thrilled to have in studio with me my friend Rick Turnquist. Rick, you've written a very important piece regarding this forced paid family leave. And I love it. Did you see the optic that Zach put together?
Yeah.
Baby carriage with the bunny in it. That was good.
Zach always does a great job on putting together graphics for these. And I never suggest anything because I know he's going to come up with something really good. And I chuckled when I saw that.
I did too. So let's jump in here. This is at kimmunson.com, the case against family. It's F-A-M-L-I.
Yeah, family and medical leave insurance is what family stands for. And, you know, it's the left is so clever at using words and language because, you know, when you say the case against family, it sounds like you're against families. And of course, none of us are against families. We all have our own families and we're all part of families and mm-hmm. we celebrate family on the conservative side. You know, whether it's from life begins at conception or the fact that we welcome babies into the world, you know, it's definitely, you know, something we're all in favor of. But what we're against is forced government interference in these very personal things. And, you know, paid family and medical leave insurance is a concept that's gaining traction. And unfortunately, even President Trump has expressed support for the concept. But, you know,
I was disappointed on that as well.
Yeah. And, you know, nobody's going to agree 100% on everything. And you know, I support President Trump and I support his reelection, but, you know, I disagree with him on this one policy area.
I'm exactly there. I'm with you.
And, so, you know, in Colorado, we've had four prior bills introduced. I saw one news article that said five, but I've been looking through the legislative website and I just can't find a fifth one. But I know that former representative, now state senator Faith Winter from the Westminster area, has introduced four bills prior to this session. All four bills failed. The first one was killed in the Democrat-controlled House, so it must have been really bad. The next two were killed in the Republican-controlled state Senate, in the Senate Veterans Military Affairs Committee. And then last year's bill was going to fail, but then at the last minute they rewrote it to authorize a task force study so that it wouldn't fail and they could claim victory. And so the task force did meet over the summer and came up with some recommendations. There's some elements in common to all four of these, and I put together a little table that's in the blog post, which kind of highlights what this bill would have created. But, you know, it creates a new division in the Colorado Department of Labor and Employment that's run by a director. This will be a very powerful person because he or she will have the authority to set tax rates without oversight. And, you know, under the previous three bills, you know, to impose a solvency surcharge, which basically is the program's running out of money, so we're going to take more money from taxpayers to you know, make up any shortfalls. This program would be authorized to issue revenue bonds. And for those who may not be familiar with capital markets, you know, revenue bonds are basically they're bonded debt of the state that the state is required to repay at some point in time in the future. And they're called revenue bonds because they're financed or supposed to be repaid from revenues of a program. Mm-hmm. So this would be issuing debt, borrowing money to fund this family and medical leave insurance benefit program. And, you know, when you issue debt, you have to pay debt issuance costs. And I know this from my work in the private sector. That can amount to millions of dollars. And then over the time that the bonds are outstanding, you have to pay interest on those. And then when the time comes, you have to pay them back. And that's a problematic part of this as well that nobody seems to be focusing on. This would impose a tax on employees. Every employee in the state who works for an employer and gets a W-2 would be paying this tax. In the first iteration of the bill, the tax was no limit. There was no limit on it. In the bill,
premium, they don't call it a tax.
Well,
right?
It's a tax.
It is a tax.
They can call it whatever they want. But as I've been saying for 2 years now, any money that's taken by government force from people that earn it to fund government programs is a tax. You can call it a premium, you can call it a fee, you can call it cheese from Mars, but it's a tax.
But the reason that they use these different words is because of Colorado's Taxpayers Bill of Rights.
That's exactly
that
right.
That says, basically, and the idea behind the Taxpayers Bill of Rights is if government is going to take money, as you've just described it, from a person, a tax, then they just have to have the good manners to get our consent and ask us.
That's right. And that's why I reiterate my call to have this bill, this family concept put before the voters. You know, let's put it on the ballot and vote on it in November. And, you know, I bet you $10 that it will fail because all the other big tax increase requests they've had over the last several years have failed. So so they're trying to do they're trying to subvert the will of the voters of Colorado by calling it a premium and doing it the way they're doing it. So this director would have, you know, power to set this tax rate at whatever whatever it needs to be in order to meet certain revenue targets. It imposes in last year's bill, Senate Bill 19-188, it put a tax on employers as well. It kind of split this 1.28% tax between employees and employers. The task force actually has recommended that any program have a that the program be fully funded by employees. So they were against a tax on employers, which I found interesting. And in most of the other states that have a family and medical leave plans, they put the tax solely on the employees. A couple of the states have employer taxes too, but most of them don't.
So what that means is every employee in the state of Colorado is going to have more money would have more money taken out of their paycheck.
Yeah, and there's a little table down below where I calculated what it would be at various income levels, but you know, if you're making $40,000 a year or $60,000 a year, and you're getting a tax taken out of your, you know, $14 per biweekly paycheck for this tax, you know, that
it adds up.
That really means something. I mean, mm-hmm. $15 may not be much to some people, but to other people, it's a lot of money, mm-hmm. and you know, that would really come out of your paycheck. And so, you know, the proponents always talk about how great the benefits are, and you know, bonding with new babies and caring for aging parents, whatnot. And you know, we've all been through these things, and we've all experienced these things in our lives. But there's no morality in forcing government to take other people's money. You know, to take your money to give to me for my personal financial problems.
Well, and quite frankly, instead of trying to figure out how to take more money out of people's paychecks, how about let's try to start to limit government so that everybody has more money in their paychecks?
Oh, that's a great idea, Kim. You know, the fact is that government does place a lot of regulation on people. They place a lot of, you know, they tax us for everything. It's not just income taxes. It's, you know, we pay sales taxes. We pay taxes when we buy a six pack of beer. We pay taxes for buying cigarettes if you smoke. You pay taxes for your car. I mean, there's so many areas of tax. It's hard to find an area of life that isn't taxed. So if they would just reduce the tax burden on everybody, then everybody would have more money to spend or to save for those events in life that that require relying on savings.
Well, you know, and speaking of that, I think that there's a sales tax on diapers.
Oh, you know, there probably is.
You know, and yep. So here you've got a little family that's trying to make ends meet, and they have to pay that sales tax. One thing I wanted to mention, and you know, when we were having this conversation with Jason McBride, he was talking about the SECURE Act, and that they are putting in there, you know, the word regulation that that in essence the plan had to provide, you know, these different scenarios on taking money out. I'm like, well, why don't you just, instead of having a regulator and paying somebody to do that, why doesn't somebody be proactive and sit down with like somebody like Jason McBride and say, what does this look like if I do this? You don't need a regulator to do that.
Right. And it's so funny, you know, again, the way they use words like, you know, they named the law so that they can come up with a cute thing, the SECURE Act. Well, I haven't studied it in detail, so I don't know. But just as a instinctual reaction, I'm like, do we really need a SECURE Act?
Or the family leave, but they're
right.
They're good with words. But
oh, yeah.
Anyway, whenever you see the word regulate, regulator, force is involved.
Yeah, that's exactly right. So, you know, the prior four bills have all failed, and they've all been bad. There is a, you know, I do want to point out that the group called the Common Sense Policy Roundtable wrote an excellent paper on Senate Bill 188 last year, and I fully, you know, I've linked to it in the blog post here. You know, it's a kind of a more of an in-depth analysis of Senate Bill 188 than I've performed, and you know, there's some really good insights in there. They talk about, you know, how the proponents for Senate Bill 188 underestimated the possible utilization rate of this program, which means that they lowballed the cost estimates, and you know, that's not surprising. They're gonna put forward the best estimates they can, the most favorable estimates they can to win support for their program. And then once it's in place and it blows up, then too bad.
That's already there.
Yeah.
So, you know what? Let's go to break and come back with this. This is at my website, kimmunson.com. It's the case against family, which is the forced paid family leave act that they're talking about down at the State House, because you and I were all for families, but we're against this forced mandated thing that they have, they're talking about. So Kim Munson in studio with me is Rick Turnquist. Be sure and go take a look at his piece that is at my website, kimmunson.com. Also, Rick, before we go to break, you also have your own blog.
Yeah, it's called toadvancedfreedom.com. Most of my writing lately has been, coming on your website, Kim,
but I
still try to post pieces on my website as well, and it goes back about 4 or 5 years. So,
well, it's really good stuff. So this is Kim Munson. We're going to go to break. We'll continue on with Rick Turnquist when we get back.
A reverse mortgage can be an important financial tool for individuals 62 and older. It is essential to understand the process so that all of your questions are answered. With over 17 years in the mortgage industry, Lauren Levy, Polygon Financial Group, has the experience to answer your questions. Lauren knows that each financial transaction is personal. If you'd like to explore your options on a reverse mortgage or with rates down, explore options to remodel your home, buy a rental property, or move, call Lauren Levy at 303-880-8881. That's 303-880-8881 for a mortgage checkup.
All of Kim's sponsors are an inclusive partnership with Kim and are not affiliated with or in partnership with KLZ or Crawford Broadcasting. If you would like to support the work of the Kim Munson Show and grow your business, contact Kim at her website, kimmunson.com. That's Kim Munson, MONSON.com.
Welcome back to the Kim Munson Show. I am Kim Munson. Be sure and check out my website, Kim Munson. That's MONSON.com. And right there is in featured articles is Rick Turnquist's piece on the case against family, which is this forced paid family leave act that they're talking about down at the State House. Rick, you've done so much research on this. You've taken a look at the other states that have these you know, similar programs. How are they doing?
Well, the other states that offer paid family and medical leave, none of them are doing as well economically as Colorado is. And, there's a lot of factors that go into that. And I've talked about this on the show before. I wrote about it in my blog post, Taxation and Wealth. I also, highly recommend that people check out Rich States, Poor States, which I've linked to in the blog post. And also the book, An Inquiry into the Nature and Causes of the Wealth of States, How Taxes, Energy, and Worker Freedom Change Everything. And that book is actually written by four distinguished economists, including Arthur Laffer and Stephen Moore. And it presents real-world data on how 15 public policy variables affect the economic success of the 50 states. And, everything that the Colorado Democrats are doing is exactly wrong when it comes to state economic prosperity. The states that have lower or no income taxes do better economically than the states that have income taxes or higher income taxes. And one reason that Colorado is doing so well economically is because our flat tax at 4.63%.
Now, Rick, I want to make a comment because you mentioned the Colorado Democrats, but we have Republicans that have not stood strong on many of these Tabor questions, and we need to make sure that Republicans remember that they are Republicans and keep their hands off the murder weapon of these higher taxes and of these kinds of programs. And so it seems that Democrats certainly are putting these out there, but we need to give people cover that stand strong on this, and the people that don't, we need to have a conversation with them.
That's right. And, I really am disappointed when Republicans don't stay on the reservation when it comes to these issues. We tend to vote for people by party based on certain underlying philosophies, when people stray from that, I understand, it's difficult when you're in public office to hew to an ideology or a philosophy that you know, and you know, get a lot of pressure from people, you know, I want this program, I want that program. And you might think it's a good idea for government to do this, but, you have to ask yourself, really, is that a good idea? Does that,
and is it the proper role?
Is that the proper role of government? And that's the very basic question that every politician should ask you about every single law that's being proposed. And, you know, if I was in the state house, I'd be famous for my no votes, because I don't think, you know, there's much of anything I'd vote for unless it was to expand a freedom or enhance a right.
Was interesting. I actually, when I was on city council, they did a piece on me that why I've always voted no. And when the reporter came up to me, she said, "We're going to be doing a piece on you and why you always vote no." I'm kind of like, I was surprised. And I took a look at it, and I actually voted yes, probably, 70-80% of the time, when it was the proper role of what we were doing as a city council for our city. But when it got outside the boundaries of what it was supposed to be, I voted no. And typically it was a 4-1 vote, and there were Republicans on the other side. And there was pressure for me because they wanted a consensus. And as when Grover Norquist was out, he spoke last year at one of the dinners. He said Republicans have to keep their hands off the murder weapon, and the reason is if you don't stand strong on these important issues, then you're compromised, and it's very difficult for people to trust you on some other issue.
Mm-hmm. That's right. So, you know, we have real world results though of tax policy.
And what are they?
And well, you know, the other states that offer paid family and medical leave and that have been offering it for longer periods of time, there's 5 other states that have been offering it for longer periods than 3 states just recently enacted programs that are either not operational yet or being phased in over the next few years. The states that have had it for quite a while are California, New Jersey, New York, Rhode Island, and Washington. And then the recently enacted states are Connecticut, Massachusetts, and Oregon. And, I put a table together of what each of these states look like. And with the exception of the Pacific Northwest states, all of the paid family and medical leave states have people moving out. They have net out migration, people moving out instead of people moving in. In terms of unemployment, you know, Colorado's ranked 5th in the nation in November 2019. These other states are all in the lower, with the exception of Massachusetts, it looks like, are in the lower half of the state in terms of the nation in terms of unemployment. They're economic outlooks based on the rich states, poor states analysis, you know, we're the best of all of them. And the rest of them, are all in the lower half in terms of economic outlook. So these are the states that, you know, California, New Jersey, New York, you know, all have, you know, huge homeless problems, all have huge infrastructure problems, all have, you know, bloated public sectors. Another terrible idea that they're talking about down at the state house now is allowing the state workforce to unionize, which would be just disastrous for our state. So, we're doing better than all of these other states in terms of our economic success. And, you know, I don't think that we would stay in the top for very long if this paid family leave program was implemented. And, you know, the fact of the matter is, the more generous the program, the more the handout there is, the more incentive there is for people to take advantage of it. So Rhode Island's utilization rate is at 14%. And even New York, you know, like I said earlier, they have to raise their tax rate in the first year by 76% just because and they've added, you know, a bigger pool of people that can claim benefits under these programs. SB 188 would have created a $2 billion program in the first year by my estimation, which could be wrong, could be low, could be high. I don't know. But
mm-hmm.
It's based on reasonable assumptions. We only have a few minutes left here, but let's wrap up with the moral case against family. And, you know, if somebody walks up to somebody else on the street and puts a gun to their head and says, "You know what, give me your money because I need it," is that moral? No, that's actually armed aggravated robbery, which is a class 4 felony in Colorado. There is no case for a person's need taking precedence over another person's rights to their person, their property, their earnings, and their wealth. So I believe that that the whole paid family medical leave insurance concept is immoral, and requiring government to act as the armed robber to take other people's money, to give money to redistribute it to other people based on certain life events, I just don't think is right. And you know, I think everybody in the state who values their paycheck, who values their freedom, who wants to keep as much of their money they earn as they can, should let the state legislature know that this is not a good idea and they don't support it.
And so people need to say no to this forced paid family leave act. And so we don't know for sure what it's going to look like, but we think within the next, you know, what, 120 days, or I guess we're down to 113 days or whatever.
Yeah, my you know, right now the Senate's going to be down two people soon. Lowe's court, you know, we wish her the best in her health problems. And then Senator Brittany Patterson's expecting to give birth, you know, so they're going to be down a couple people. And, you know, so it may not be introduced till they're back up to full strength. But, you know, the prior four bills have all encountered significant opposition from the business community and others. And I expect this one to be the same. I don't know what it's going to look like. I don't know if they're going to draw on the task force, but I've read through the task force results, not in detail, but kind of skimmed through the report. And, you know, the proposal, you know, for a private plan or a state-run plan, you know, they both have problems.
And they both have force.
And they both involve force. So I, you know, as a libertarian conservative, I oppose both concepts.
Well, go to my website, kimmunson.com, because Rick's piece is there. Rick Turnquist, it's always just great to have you in studio. Thanks for being here.
Well, thank you, Kim. It's been a pleasure.
And Thomas Sowell, great economist, says, some of the biggest cases of mistaken identity are among intellectuals who have trouble remembering that they are not God. So today, read great books, think good thoughts, listen to beautiful music, communicate and listen well, live honestly and authentically, strive for high ideals, and like Superman, stand for truth, justice, and the American way. This is Kim Munson signing off. God bless you, and God bless America. If I don't survive.